Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. If you have your Bible there, turn it to John, the 11th chapter. And we're going to take that up here in just a minute. And I'm titling this message, The Resurrection, The Hope Within Us. And we all know that today is Resurrection Sunday, or Easter as it's called here in America. And I want to thank the Lord today and thank Him for giving me another day. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Just a beautiful time of the year and a beautiful time to give thanks to the Lord. Well, we talked about last week in our message about the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the blood that Jesus took in to the Holy of Holies and presented to His Father. And I'm going to review that scripture before we take off into the resurrection. And in Hebrews 9, it tells us in verse 11, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His very own blood, He entered the most holy place, once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself up without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And so Jesus went to the cross. He willingly died for you, brother and sister. He died for me, for the sins that we've committed, for the sins that we will commit the rest of our life. Jesus' blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Jesus' blood covers us. It covers our sins, and it allows us to be reconciled and to be redeemed back to God. It allows us to come back to God and have good standing in the presence of the Lord, because our Redeemer is there standing with us. The Holy Spirit is there standing beside us. And so we have an advocate. We have a Redeemer. And so when Jesus looks down upon us, when He looks down upon your life here on this earth, when He looks down to see what you're doing each and every day, He sees you just as one who is sinless. He sees you as one who is redeemed. He sees you as one who is covered by His blood. And so when the Father looks at our life, He says, "Yes, my son, your blood has covered this person's life. He has committed himself to you. He has confessed your name over his life." And I urge you to do that today. If you've never done that, brother and sister, I urge you to confess the name of Jesus, to repent of your sins, to confess His name, and just say, "Jesus, I want your blood to cover my life. I want your blood to cover my sins." And when you do that and you repent and turn away — repent means to turn away from your life of sin, from your life of wickedness, from your life of willfully choosing rebellion and willfully moving against the will of God in your life — when you turn to the Lord, His blood covers you and it cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and His blood sets you aside so that when God looks at your life and when God looks at you and the things that you do, He says, "Jesus, my son, shed His blood for you, and I no longer remember your sins as far as the east is from the west." Well, Jesus in John 11, the chapter that has to do with the resurrection of His friend Lazarus, or the bringing back to life of His friend Lazarus, this is a very powerful chapter, a very powerful story in the Word of God, and it is a picture of the resurrection. It is a picture of the salvation message, and there's so many things that a person could speak about and preach about on Resurrection Sunday, but I've chosen this story about Jesus and His friend Lazarus simply because all of the elements, all of the aspects of our salvation, all of the pertinent information regarding salvation and the revelation that we have from God is embodied in this story. Well, you know the story, many of you, but we're going to start it up here in John 11, verse 1. "Now there was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, I'm going to stop right there and just say, brothers and sisters, that everything that the Father does in your life, everything that you were created for, everything that I was created for, every single detail of your life is known by your Father, by your Creator. Every single circumstance that you go through, every single trial and tribulation, and your whole life basically has been set aside. Your whole life has been sanctified or set aside to bring glory to your Creator, to bring glory to God. And so Jesus immediately spoke about Lazarus, his friend who was sick, his dearly beloved friend who was sick, and he said, This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And I'm sure the people standing there that day probably said, What in the world is he talking about? That this guy's not that he's not sick unto death. Well, at this point in time, Lazarus had already been dead for a few days, and so it was obvious to all of the humans, to the looking through their human eyes, that Lazarus was dead unto death, that his death was final. And yet Jesus said, This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And Jesus knew that he had power over death. He knew that he was going to be able to raise Lazarus from the dead. He had confidence, he had faith in his Father, that his Father was able to do this. And so Jesus spoke that this whole situation about this man who has been sick and is now dead, this whole situation has been set up, you might say, or has been allowed so that the Son of God, so that Jesus may be glorified through it. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how difficult you think it is, no matter what is happening, no matter what is breaking out in terms of sickness or pain or calamity, or your finances may be trashed, or your body may be in pain, whatever it is for the glory of God. Whatever God is allowing, every single agent that is a human agent, even the demonic agents, the demonic angels, the agents of Satan, everything created by God is used by this sovereign God, is used by this sovereign God to bring glory to himself. And as soon as you recognize that and start giving God the praise, start giving God the glory, start giving God the praise and honor and worship that he's due, then you start to come into agreement with God's plan for your life. Then you start to come into agreement that everything that happens in your life is for the glory of God. It is to bring glory to the one who created you. Well, as we go on down in this teaching, verse 11, it says, These things he said after that, these things Jesus said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And the disciples said, Well, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. In other words, they were saying, Well, if he's just sleeping, then he's not dead. If he's just sleeping, he's going to wake up. However, Jesus spoke of his death that they thought that Jesus was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And so Jesus is starting to speak plainly about what's happening. He's saying, in the earthly sense, Lazarus is dead. In the natural, his body is dead. And so that brings up another point that I want to tell you about today. And brothers and sisters, I think you know this already, but I want you to focus on this and to meditate on it in your own life, in your own mind. You are not going to get out of this world alive. You are not going to escape death. Some of you out there, you think you're invincible. You think you are going to live forever, let me tell you, you are going to face death. Even you young people listening to me today, you are going to face death. Death is going to come knocking on your door at some point and at some time. And I just pray that when it does, you are ready. I pray that when it comes, that you have made peace with your God, that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that you are ready to go. If you have any business that you need to take up with the Lord today, whether it's to forgive someone or just to forgive yourself or to say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I've been a rebel. I've been out there away from you and disregarding your will for my life. And if you need to do business with the Lord, do it today, because you are going to die and you don't know when your last day on this earth is going to be. You don't know, but that maybe tonight might be the last day that you walk this earth. And so I just pray that each and every one of you, if there's things that you need to do, maybe you need to write somebody a letter and ask them to forgive you or forgive them. And just do business with the Lord and get right with the Lord and accept the fact that you are going to die. Just as Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, but I am here for your sakes, that I was not there that you may believe. In other words, Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't there, because you would have been begging me to keep him alive. You would have been begging me to keep him from dying. And so now that he's dead, my power will be revealed. And so in verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And so Jesus comes up towards Bethany where Lazarus was. Martha runs out to meet him. And Jesus tells her in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. What he was talking to her about was, your brother is going to rise again today. And in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And this is the first statement of the salvation message, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And so through him, through the death that he died, and he overcame death, through the blood that he shed, and he overcame the sting of death, which is our fallen nature, our fallen self, through sin. The devil wants us to die through sin. The devil wants us to join him through sin, because through sin we join, or we are in agreement with this fallen world. But Jesus says, if you know me, I am the resurrection and the life. Or in other words, what he was saying is, through me you can overcome death. Through me you can overcome the fear of death. Through me, you can have life. And he was talking about not only abundant life here on this earth, in terms of we have peace, we have joy, we have wisdom, we have the things that God wants to give us here on this earth as part of our earthly inheritance. As soon as we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we start to then experience the realm of heaven. We start to experience that realm of eternity. We start to abide with Jesus, and so therefore we have the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives within us. And so when we make that confession of faith, that Spirit of God comes to reside in us and takes up residence in our holy temple, in our body. But in addition to this earthly blessing and this abundant life here on this earth, God will give you eternity. He will give you eternal life to join with Jesus Christ, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and the angels of God in heaven for all eternity. And brothers and sisters, I hope that you get a feeling of how blessed this can be. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I hope you get a little glimmer of the potential and the possibility for your life. I hope you get a little glimmer of what God wants for you through this message today. If you've been in rebellion, if you are in doubt, if you're an agnostic, an atheist, or just a rebel, maybe you've been taken out or taken aside by some cult or pagan religion, I want you to know that through Jesus Christ, through the blood that he shed, through his death, burial, and resurrection, you can know heaven here on this earth. You can know an abundant life here on this earth, and you can also reside with Jesus Christ and the Father for all eternity. Well, Jesus goes on to tell Martha, he said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Well, that is the question for each and every one of us today and every day, if you've not accepted Jesus, is that, do you believe that Jesus Christ overcame death? Do you believe that when Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, that he was showing to the world and shows us today through his word, through the power of the resurrection, through the testimony of the eyewitnesses that were there, that he was showing us that if we believe in him, we shall never die? Well, when Lazarus was still in that tomb, then Jesus goes to the tomb, and Jesus said in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And so Jesus is repeating to her for the unbelievers, for the doubters, and he does that to us as well. He repeats to us over and over through his creation. He sends people to speak to us. He sends intercessors to intercede for our life. He ministers and testifies to us in many different ways that through him we can see the glory of God. And so things like the stench on the dead, which we were all stinky at one time, all of us in our rottenness of our life, where we were not walking with the Lord, it was a stench that I'm sure caused stench to rise up into the nostrils of our Creator. And yet Jesus said, "I can overcome all of that, that through my resurrection you will see the glory of God." And in verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And so Jesus thanked the Father. He wanted the people there to understand that because he was there, the Father was there. And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And Jesus wanted people to understand that through him, through his testimony, through his resurrection, through his power, they could see the Father, they could see their Creator, they could come to know their Creator. And so Jesus said, "The reason that I spoke is that because the people standing by have little faith and they have little belief and they are full of doubt. And so I spoke to my Father and I thanked him so that the people here would know who is behind me, who sent me, who's responsible for me being here, and who is responsible for my power." And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, both hand and foot bound with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Let him go, loose him and let him go." Well, that is a picture of the salvation message, brothers and sisters. That is a picture of our resurrection. That is a picture of when we are dead in our sins, when we are trapped in our sins and we are in bondage, we are wrapped up and bound up in grave clothes, and we are in our tomb, and we are dead to the resurrection of Jesus. We are dead to our Creator. And yet when Jesus says, "Roll away the stone and loose him and let him come forth, Lazarus, come forth." You can put your own name in that blank right there. You can put your name in there and say, "You come forth. You come out of your place of death. You come out of the tomb that has held you. You come out of those grave clothes that have you bound up and wrapped up. And you come forth and you walk in the power, and you walk in the righteousness that I have for you, that I will give for you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so if we have sin, we can come to the Lord, and He will cleanse us of our sin, and He will raise us up, and He will give us newness of life. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. All things are new. And so I pray for you today, brothers and sisters. I pray that you will come forth from your tomb today, that you will come forth and break out of that tomb and break out of that emptiness and break out of that bondage that the grave clothes have on you, and just be set free by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Be set free to walk in newness of life and break those shackles, break those chains. Just start invoking the name of Jesus over your life and start praying the power of Jesus over your life and the blood of Jesus over your life. If you're in shackles and if you're in chains today and if you are in bondage today, let Jesus set you free. Let the power of Jesus set you free. And as you do this, as you move forward into the kingdom of God, you will be seated at the right hand of God, and He will give you the power, He will give you the strength to walk out of that tomb just like He did with His friend Lazarus. Well, I pray today that you make a decision to accept Jesus. I pray today that you make a decision to walk with Him. Maybe if you've been a believer for many years, you just need to recommit yourself or move into some kind of endeavor in the kingdom that moves you forward in ministry or in testimony or in preaching or prophesying or whatever it is God has a call on your life. I pray that you move forward into that, that you become the servant that God wants you to be, and you do it all for the glory of God. Well, I pray you have a great day today, the Resurrection Sunday. Enjoy it with your family and your body of believers. Enjoy it and just give God thanks for your life. And I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.